Everybody, this is Wes from Geek Week. We've decided to change our name, so this will be the last ever episode under the name Geek Week GA. We're going to be now known as Deep Thought. Those of y'all who know what that is, just look it up, because it's interesting and I'm rambling. Anyway, I'm here with Derek.
What up?
And Jason will be joining us eventually. We're going to be talking about whatever comes to mind today. We haven't really prepared this one, but we wanted to get a new podcast out and explain to everyone what was going on. And you'll hear some barking in the background. That's Jason's dog, and he's excitable. He's an excitable boy.
Yeah, definitely.
There you go. I guess one thing that I want to rant about today, I have a rant. It's about network television and how crappy they are now. They tend to let a show go for like one episode, and then if it doesn't get good ratings, they want to get rid of it. Do you have any thoughts on this?
That's pretty much it. It's they'll let some shows go. I mean, Seventh Heaven is back, for crying
out loud. Yeah, that's the crazy thing. They're like, we're gonna let Seventh Heaven retire after 10 seasons, and what happens?
They bring it back.
They bring it back, but they cancel shows like Everwood, which could have gone on and were really good, you know.
And they show shows out of order. Can you imagine 24 shown episode 5 first, and then episode 2, and then episode 10? How do you expect to get an audience?
It just doesn't make sense. That's what killed Firefly, I think.
Exactly.
I mean, if they'd have showed it in order, I think it would have had more of a chance. But then again, if they quit moving it, from, you know, I remember it was on like 9 o'clock on Friday nights, and they always preempted it for other crap.
I honestly couldn't tell you, because I don't even remember when it was on.
Well, I saw like one or two episodes. I think the only episode of it I saw was the one where they end up going to the dance, and he takes Kaylee with him and ends up getting all the cows at the end. But, I mean, network television sucks. And they're having to compete with cable, which I think is some of the problems. If the show doesn't take off right away, then they got to get rid of it.
Well, I think cable lets the people involved with the show do it their way more than network does. I think network, they get more involved and say, you have to do it this way. Whereas cable, they say, do what you want.
You know, I'm going to have to go. It's Jason here. I'm going to have to go and say I disagree with you sort of on that network sucking. I think it's, you know, it's like my friend Kim. She's always going on about how TV's awful. It's the same with everything. I mean, there are a lot of bad movies for all the good ones there are. There's a lot of bad books for all the good ones there are. There's going to be a lot of bad stuff for anything.
Plethora of bad music.
Yeah.
For
all the good music. So
Furtado, come on.
The problem is, and stuff, I mean, I assume we're talking about Studio 60.
Well, we're about to get into that, but okay. I was just going to talk about how, like, I like the show Kidnapped. I've talked about it on the podcast before. I don't think y'all have seen it, but I mean, it's a pretty good show. It's very tight writing. It's got an A-list cast, and I think maybe that's what the problem is. It didn't get such hot ratings to start with, and you know, having Delroy Lindo, Dana Delaney, Timothy Hutton,
there's your problem.
Jeremy Sisto, yeah. Well, at least it didn't have Ted McGinley in it.
He's got a pretty good sheet now.
The
Jeez.
Show
Happy Days,
killer.
Married with Children.
Love Boat. He was on Love Boat.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's other shows like Vanished. Now, I saw Vanished on Fox, and I would have to say it was crap. I mean, it was total crap. But the show with Ron Livingston, I forget what it's called. It's the one where he's the hostage negotiator guy. It's a great show. It really is. But, you know, there's so much on TV now. I don't have
time
to watch.
Is that the one Jerry Ryan's on? Is that Shark?
That's Shark, and Shark's going to be gone pretty soon, too. It doesn't have good ratings. I will say, though, that CBS is giving their shows a lot more of a chance. And ABC is being smart. If you missed an episode, you can go to abc.com and download it, and they can count how many hits they get to see whether or not a show is doing really well.
Yeah,
and cool. That's a smart thing to do. Until someone comes up with software that cracks their downloads, and you can download it and watch it later. But, I mean, I think that's a feature of television, being able to watch it on your computer. I really think before long, with high def and all that, when they finally come out with a video card that can really handle high definition on a computer,
yeah,
people will start running everything off their computer and forget about this on-the-air television crap. It's just going to go the way it's going to go bye-bye. You know, there's only a few shows that made it past last season, and one of them was Earl. Very well-written show, and it seems so far to be even better this season.
How I Met Your Mother?
How I Met Your Mother made it, and what else made it last season? Well, The Office was kind of a mid-season replacement for the year before. Last year was its first real season. It's pretty good, and, you know, it's equally good to the British version, and I'm glad that they didn't take the scripts from that show and just import them over like they were coupling. But I would have to say network television, there's a plethora of bad stuff on there, too, as well. And,
there's not bad stuff on cable.
Well, there's a lot of bad stuff on cable, but people are paying for subscriptions, so there's a little bit more money to flood around there. You know, people who do ads don't want to pay for stuff that people aren't watching, and they'll pay out the nose for Deal or No Deal, which apparently everybody loves, and I think is, you know, I didn't realize that was Howie Mandel until someone said something to it, and it's like, God.
Yeah, Bob Saget's hosting the new one, the 1 vs. 100.
Oh my gosh, Bob, so that's a reason to watch it there.
I like Saget.
Yeah, Saget's
stand-up.
Actually, great. Saget's one of the dirtiest comedians out there.
Uh-huh. Freaking hysterical. But
I think, you know, Jason's thrown out his views before about the new Battlestar Galactica, and whether you like it or not, it's a ratings monster right now.
That's what I said. It's a good show if it wasn't called Battlestar Galactica.
Right. And
because it's not Battlestar Galactica.
No, it's another show with characters named similar names. That's about it. Oh, and the ships look similar. But, I mean, I saw the premiere to it the other night. It was kind of on while I was doing stuff on the computer, and it was pretty good, and I didn't like the way last season ended, but I could see how it's going to be really, really pumped up this season. But I don't know. It's a ratings monster, and on Friday nights, that's pretty good, because that's the night everyone goes out. You know, it's the fall. There's, you know, high school football's going on. People go out to dinner on Friday nights to go see movies on Friday nights, and for a show like that to be kicking butt. And you know what? The new Doctor Who has incredible ratings as well on Sci-Fi Network. And this time around, they're promoting it, not chopping it up to pieces when they show it. So I have a feeling they'll probably screw that up. And that's Sci-Fi Channel for you. They're going to be great at that.
Well, BBC America is going to start showing it. So
yeah. And, you know, BBC America is a great, great channel. And, you know, you see all these great shows coming from England. And they don't have these huge seasons. They do about 12 episodes, and then they stop for a year, and then they come back the next year with 12 more episodes, which means they have more time to write less material so they can spend some time on it. That's why
there's no filler episodes.
Right. The first season of Doctor Who that came back, just about every episode was good. Some of them weren't great, but they weren't awful. Yeah. Now, you go to a show like, even Buffy had some that were like, eh, because they had to fill space.
But, you know, the thing about Buffy was that with the way Joss does things, is even if an episode wasn't particularly great or pertinent, there'd be something in it.
Right.
It turned out to be so pertinent later.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess that was a bad example. All right, the Star Trek franchise. Next Generation, great show, but there were more bad ones than good ones, I think. Especially the first couple of seasons of that show. When they changed the uniforms, the show got better. It's like the production quality changed. But
Paramount knew it was going to stick around, so they put more money into it.
I've been going through my seasons of Star Trek Voyager, and, you know, that's a very underrated show. There's a lot of good episodes on that series. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of stinkers, too. They spend a lot of time in the holodeck. And a lot of things with the Doctor. But I think if shows like that only had 12 episodes, they'd be a whole lot better. They could just do their good stuff. And, you know, every once in a while you get a really, really bad episode. But all in all, you're going to have your best writers, and they're not as stressed because they're not having to pop, you know, 22 episodes out a season. And you don't have a lot of reruns going on, too. And that's what... You hit about end of November, and it's all reruns for about 8 weeks.
That's because, like I said, they order about, 24 episodes, but the season's like 35 weeks.
Right.
So you got to fill.
That's why I think we should have a fall season of 12 weeks, a spring season, a winter season, a spring season, and a summer season. And you can spread out the show throughout all year. I mean, look at 24. They have really done a good thing by starting it in January and running it 24 weeks straight with no interruptions. And it seems to have worked out for them. And it's like a whole complete new season on Fox. Fox has started doing stuff like that. But I think a lot of the networks get to where they just crap on the summer because they just assume no one's going to be home watching television. Where they could try some of their harder-to-get shows because they know the ratings aren't going to be great to begin with. Why not give them a chance to get built up a little bit? And you never know. You might have yourself a hit. You go, and then you can pop it out earlier, like later in the fall. Okay. We thought we had a little problem there.
Just a wonderful screensaver.
I'll just edit that out later. Anyway, where were we? They could try the shows out later. Yeah. Another thing that's really starting to get to me now is the recording industry of America, the RIA. And you can't spell diarrhea without RIA. I know that was bad, but I think they're just a pile of crap. It's what it is. It's an organization that works with the record companies, not the artists themselves. Because, you know, what people are forgetting when they're talking about music downloading is, oh, it's killing the artists. They can't make any money. Bull crap. The artists have already been paid. The studio owns the stuff at that point. They've already sold the CDs. The one that really gets hurt is Walmart. And do we like Walmart? No, we don't. I don't anyway.
It depends on what you want.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of making a joke there, but you've got all these recording industry types that are illegally getting IP addresses from people and suing people for downloading music. There was a congressional hearing about 6 or 8 months ago where they're, you know, trying to get all these subpoenas, and Congress is like, well, where'd you get the stuff from? Well, so-and-so gave it to me, and they're like, oh, and what enforcement agency did you go through to get it? And there's about to be a real, I mean, it's a breach of contract if Earthlink, or wait, maybe I shouldn't mention the name, if an IP company that, you know, just to rhyme with Earthlink, how about that, they give out your IP address. Yeah, I know. I'm not as swift as I think I am. If they kind of give out your IP address, that's like a, it's no different than you go into a doctor and they have all your information. There's a reasonable expectation of privacy, and if you're using someone's stuff, you shouldn't. You know, I understand a college campus giving out IP addresses for people downloading music because that's a, you know, a school, it's an institution.
Yeah.
But in your own private home, I don't think you should go after the people that are downloading so much as the people that are uploading it to the web for you to download. I mean, go after the services, not the people. If the services aren't there, the people can't download. But the problem is there's always going to be a geek or smart nerd somewhere that'll figure out how to get around the system. And all the other geeks and smart nerds with computers will figure out how to download it. There's no way to fight it. But by bringing attention to it, a whole new group of people is going to start doing it. And when they started complaining about it and throwing lawsuits at people, it tripled overnight, the downloading did. So, I mean, if you were just to leave it alone, Recording Industry of America, people would not be downloading as much as they were, I think. I think that spurred it, because it's like one of those, you can't do that. Of course, everyone's going to go do it. It's like when you're a teenager, the only reason you really drink is because it's illegal, and once you're legal, it's not near as fun. So they say.
Well, you know, if CDs didn't cost 15 freaking bucks... I mean,
yeah, now that is a ripoff. Because more often than not,
because you know the artist doesn't get hardly anything from it.
They get like 30 cents a disc that's sold, or you something know, like that. Like, they make their money on the tours,
exactly.
And even yeah. then, the recording industry's got their little fingers in it. You know, I just want to take this time to thank Metallica for getting all this started. Oh, and where's their career? Flush down the toilet.
Thanks, Lars.
Seriously, their last album was considered one of the worst released albums. Whether the album was good or not, I don't know because I wouldn't listen to them ever again. But from what I understand, most of America was kind of like, I don't want to buy their stuff because they're being such a snot about things.
I didn't like them to begin with.
I always thought you wanted people to listen to your music, and I remember a lot of these bands, you know, doing free concerts in coffee houses just so people would buy their CD, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I think bands like Dave Matthews have it right. You know, let your fans have whatever they want. They're going to pay for whatever. I mean, if you really got something that's good, they'll still pay for it.
Just go to MySpace and look at the number of people who want you to listen to their music for free.
It's like everybody on there, pretty much. And, you know, the Recording Industry Association of America is trying to stop that as well. Because there's some bands that actually own a label that want you to hear their music, and the label is, like, pulling their music off the site. And I think this is horrible. It's like this podcast here is going to quit playing certain songs because we don't want to get sued because some stupid idiot suit who probably never heard the song in their life is demanding that I pay them $5,000 because I played their song illegally. It's like, if you don't want us to hear it, don't put it on the radio, correct?
Pretty much.
I mean, all I'm thinking is, you know, if we play a song during our podcast, everyone's going to hear it, maybe go out and buy the CD because they like the music.
I mean, I thought that was the whole point. The more people who hear it, the more people will buy it.
Yep. And you can tell this is something that we all have close to our hearts. Because all you guys that are downloading us, oh, you better watch out. Because Rhea's going to get you. Now, I understand, however, the movie industry, okay, they're making a product that's shown in a specific place at a specific time, and they spend millions of dollars on it.
You have to pay to see it to begin with.
Right.
TV, you need a TV.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, a TV.
And power.
Right.
And that's it.
But, like, I would agree that going into a movie theater with a video camera and filming, that is bad.
Yeah.
Okay? Because, folks, if you don't pay to see the movie, they won't know you like it enough to make more movies. Like, you know, Serenity is a good example. It did okay in the theaters, but I think if people didn't download it as much, because it was a heavily downloaded movie, and they went to see it in the theater, we may be working on another sequel at this time. Mm-hmm. Instead, you know, they're moving on to something else. Of course, not that sequels are great. I mean, have you seen the plot outline for Live Free or Die Hard?
All you need to hear is the title. Live Free or
Die Hard.
Come on, Bruce. You're a better actor than that.
At least they didn't call it Die Hardister.
Die Harder with a Vengeance.
Yeah. That would have been a better title, actually. John McClane's new film. Anyway, that's my rant about the recording industry.
Yeah.
Now I want to talk about something that I've just discovered, MySpace. You know what? I've heard all this stuff over years about MySpace. I thought, what a dorky thing for people to do. And you know what? They're right, but you know, it's a lot of fun. you get to meet people that you never would have met before, or technically meet them. You don't really meet them. But you know what? It's no different than being in a fraternity. You don't really know the guys you're in a fraternity with, and there, you're paying for it.
Yeah, well, it's just a good way to keep in touch with everybody you used to keep in touch with.
You know, actually, I have actually found about 10 friends from college already that I had completely not forgotten about, but hadn't talked to in about a decade, and it's been a great tool for finding people.
See? And they'll leave updates, because I've forgotten all about the fact that Ralphie May was coming. Boom, I saw the little message saying, hey, come see Ralphie May at the Punchline. I'm like, there you go. Bought tickets.
That reminds me, we need to get tickets to Josh Boyd.
Yeah, Josh Boyd.
And another great thing about it is some celebrities are on there, and they will actually answer you back and talk to you sometimes. I mean, that's what's really cool about it. I have to say, you know, William Shatner, you are the man. If you're listening right now, we appreciate
yes,
you.
Shatner's listening.
Shatner loves...
Geek
Podcasting.
Week. Yeah, Shatner loves Geek Week. Though that was awful. What could be more geeky than my Shatner impression?
Yeah.
Anyway, we realize there's a lot of shows out there called Geek Week. I've probably found about 5 different podcasts, and they're all from different parts of the country. So I would have to say we're going to change our name. So now we're going to be known as Deep Thought.
Not by Jack Handy.
No.
It's a Hitchhiker's reference. Hitchhiker's Guide.
Go to the Hitchhiker's Guide of the Galaxy, you'll know what Deep Thought is. Even if you watch the movie, which was fairly mediocre, but I still enjoyed it.
Eh.
Meh.
Let's see. Anybody got any TV or movie reviews? Want to talk about Studio 60 now?
Excellent.
Sure.
All right.
Excellent show.
Jason, your impressions of Studio 60.
Excellent. Aaron Sorkin's best work since Sports Night. Love it.
Watch it. Monday nights, 10 o'clock.
That's right.
NBC.
NBC.
And don't be confused with 30 Rock, which is basically the same exact premise. It's just...
Yeah, really, it's not.
Yeah.
It seems like it on the surface, if you're your casual observer, you know, it's about an SNL type show, but it's a completely different take on it. And I'm glad they went ahead and put it on TV instead of waiting until mid-season like they were originally going to do it. I think they kind of wanted to see how Studio 60 did before they threw Tina Fey out into the wolves. But you know what? What yeah. I saw last night was pretty well written, but I have a feeling that the rest of the show will be even better. To me, pilot episodes are kind of hit and miss, and
yeah.
A lot of times you just kind of go, eh, I'll wait and see how it gets once you get in. Because, you know, I hate, you'll see a pilot episode for something and the next week the character's been recast with someone else who's better, but they should have been in the pilot. It's like, has either one of y'all seen the original Buffy pilot? It's floating around out there on YouTube. You can see the other Willow. And it's just interesting. Doesn't have Allison Hannigan in it, but it's a different take.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yes, yes. So, we all like Studio 60. This last episode was one of the funniest hours of TV I think I've sat through. And it's really not a comedy. It's not a comedy. It's not a drama. It's just like what would really happen in real life. And there's a lot of fantastic comic moments that come up in people's lives. And
you find yourself... You're asking yourself, did that actually happen?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, huh?
Like, we don't live on the West Coast, so we don't know if it actually happened.
I just love that whole plot line of the stolen joke. That was just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And I missed the coming next week thing, but I'm sure it looks like it's probably going to be pretty good. But I have to say I was impressed with the fact that Matthew Perry's not actually playing Chandler.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought he would just be Chandler in a drama. And I thought the same of Bradley Whitford, that he would be just like his Josh character from The West Wing. But you know what? They're nowhere near like their previous characters, which is, I guess, a testament to their good acting. So kudos, Aaron Sorkin. He's like gold. He can write anything. I don't think I've ever seen anything I didn't like that he did. And he's written a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I think if they give that show time to kind of grow, it'll do its thing. But
yeah. Looking forward to more.
Yeah. Well, it seems like we've run out of things to talk about tonight.
Lost was good.
Lost is getting really good. As a matter of fact, I think the pilot episode of the premiere episode of Lost this season is definitely the best episode since the pilot.
Some great individual lines.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they have said the first two seasons, they were just writing it as it went along, and they were figuring out how things were going as they were writing it. And this season, they actually took the time to come up with a plot arc for the whole season. So I think it's a little bit more thought out. And Abrams is a little bit more involved because he's not doing Alias anymore.
He's not filming Mission Impossible.
But he is starting up on Star Trek, so... No one really knows what he's doing with that. You know, the fan, all this he's doing a prequel is all fan speculation.
Yep. No, and he said anything you've heard is false.
Yeah.
Because we haven't even figured out what we're doing yet.
They just know they're doing Star Trek and they're fans and they're going to stick to the continuity and try to do something there. And they have contacted William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy both.
They've both denied that.
If you look at Shatner's blog on his thing, he says that they contacted him. They have contacted him about ideas, but they haven't got anything concrete.
So the last thing I read from him on there was he said that that no one had contacted him. But it's been a while since I looked
at it. One of his newer, because I just signed him up on MySpace, and it's talking about how, yes, he did meet with, I don't know if he met with Abrams, but he met with one of his people about it. About being involved in it some way or another. And it may just be as like a supervisory, let's make sure we get this done right, but I think if you're going to do that, you're going to have to go to Michael Okuda.
Yeah.
Not William Shatner. I think that, you know, as long as Rick Berman's not involved with Star Trek, it'll be good. And from what I understand,
I haven't seen the movie, but Abrams has really revitalized the Mission Impossible thing and made it more like the original TV series, which is what fans wanted to begin with, and that it's supposed to be pretty good. But, you know, I probably won't be watching.
Well, you know, nobody's going to say they like Mission Impossible 3 because a certain person is in it. So,
certain person who shall remain nameless because we don't want to even talk about him.
I didn't see the first two because of him, so...
Now, I will say, I saw the trailer for Casino Royale. They got the first full trailer out, and that looks good.
It does look good.
I think they did a good job picking Daniel Craig to be Bond. I don't like what they did to Pierce Brosnan, but you know what? If you're going to have a new Bond, he's definitely going to be a good one. Because I kept thinking Sean Connery when I saw him. He's more in the veins of a Connery than like a Roger Moore or Timothy Dalton or anything. Someone brought up something the other day. Timothy Dalton is the Colin Baker of the James Bond world. He really is. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because I personally like Colin Baker, but I know a lot of people don't.
Nope. Didn't like him.
Even though Jason doesn't like him, even though he has an autograph of him sitting on his desk upstairs.
Can I see? It's irony. I have the autograph of the one doctor I don't like. It's ironic.
I moved everything down here 2 inches to the left. It's called basement. 2 inches to the left.
Irony is not something you press your shirts with. But yeah, the new Bond looks great. I kind of did a movie trailer search last night and was kind of looking at stuff coming up, and there's not a whole lot I'm all excited about. Everybody, I don't know, wants to see that Flags of Our Fathers, but it's kind of eh.
Yeah.
It's like Clint Eastwood's version of Saving Private Ryan. I'd rather be saving Jerry Ryan. Okay, that was bad. But I'm geek enough to admit when my jokes are bad. You know, I kind of thought about naming the show Bitch. But then we'd have to be explicit just
That's
due to the title.
That's a whole different podcast.
We might need to do that sometime.
A little side podcast.
Sidecasting. We got the whole new genre.
We have to bring Doug in for that one.
He was there, wasn't he? What about Harley? He was there too, wasn't he?
Oh, was he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you're never bringing Harley back.
He's gone, huh? Oh, well. We hope to be coming back next week stronger than ever with our new name, new format, maybe some special guests. I'm going to see what I can do. And we'll try to bring on some local talent, like new bands. We're on the hunt for a new theme song. We're just we're trying to revamp and make ourselves sound a little bit better. It's time for that. Geek Week is no more. Now it's Deep Thought. And I'm hoping I can do the RSS feed so all you wonderful listeners will be able to still get us. Thank you for downloading us, I will have to say. You know, we're up around 500 a week now, so that's nothing compared to some. We got 500 downloads, and then I was listening to one of these other podcasts, and they're up to 10,000 a week. So hopefully we can get up there. Just tell your friends about us, and I'm hoping you're not just downloading us and not listening to us, because like last podcast, I'm asking you, please, if you have a comment, please leave us a comment at our podcast site. I just want to know someone's listening, other than people that are involved with the podcast, like Jason Chuang. He left us a comment, but he doesn't really count. Sorry, Jason, you don't count in that respect. We kind of need people that we don't know to leave a comment. So if you could do that, be greatly appreciated. I would like to thank our one fan who we have. Has a podcast about wine. If you go to our podcast site, you can click on him and get his. He actually makes wine making sound somewhat interesting and funny, so.
Excellent.
Excellent. Thought that was kind of a hard thing to do, but.
Does he know how to soak the corks?
He probably does.
You cork soaker.
Come on, let's not alienate our one fan, okay?
No, it's all in fun.
That's what we're good at, alienating our fans.
We're West is really good at it.
Yeah, I am. Let's alienate a particular race or class of fan on our show so that they'll quit listening to us.
Hey, Buffy fans, Mercedes McNabb in Playboy.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
What could be more geeky than talking about a hot chick in Playboy? Jason's going to ruin that magazine in about 5 minutes.
No.
collection.
His big collection of Playboy magazine. Go right there with Charisma Carpenter, right?
I didn't care for that pictorial.
Yeah.
She wasn't what I thought she was.
No.
Well, it was after she had a kid, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I have a feeling that none of them would be what you thought you were, except maybe Allison Hannigan. Okay, Michelle, you just went nab. I kind of like to see Claire Kramer in there. Glory, the goddess.
Yeah.
Although, you know, she was kind of... Well, I won't get into that. She was at Dragon Con, let's just say, and it was interesting to see her. I didn't recognize her because she didn't look anything like she did on TV. But
well, yeah.
That's the best thing.
She was in... Wasn't she in Jawbreaker?
She might have been.
I know Darla was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Julie
Benz. Yeah, Julie Benz.
She's on one of those new shows on... Is it CW?
With Julie Benz?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Crab Night one.
Yeah.
Y'all, have y'all seen the other channel that was metamorphosized out of the CW?
My
ATL or My TV or whatever it was.
Aggressively, we all defend the role we play. Regrettably, time's come to send you on your way. We've seen it all, bonfires of trust, flash floods of pain. It doesn't really matter, don't you worry, it'll all work out. No, it doesn't even matter, don't you worry, that ain't what it's all about.
We hope you enjoy your stay. It's good to have you with us, even if it's just for the day.